Welcome to a new era of missions at Andrews University. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to gather together as your church and your people. I pray that you'll help us to understand what you're calling us to do. Help us to follow you no matter where you lead. And be with me as I speak. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. When I was in high school, I went to Great Lakes Adventist Academy. And at this academy, we had a basketball team. And it was called the Great Lakes Adventist Academy Warriors. All right? And every fall, we would have an alumni weekend. And every alumni weekend, we would have an alumni basketball game on Saturday night. And the alumni would be super excited to come back to the academy and to play in the basketball game. And the student team would be super excited to play the alumni. And every fall, they would play. And virtually every fall, the alumni would win the game. Year after year after year, the alumni would win. And the academy would lose until one year came. I was graduate at this point, but I was back for alumni weekend. Of course, I was excited. I was cheering for the alumni team, and I was excited to watch this game. In the basketball game, this alumni weekend was particularly intense. Both teams had gone back and forth. Both teams had scored, and they had stayed within about 10 points of each other the whole game. First, the Warriors would score. Then the alumni would score, and the crowd was getting excited heading into halftime. After halftime, it was the same thing, back and forth and back and forth. First, the Warriors would shoot, and then they would score, and then the alumni would go down the court, and they would shoot, and they would score, and finally, it was down to the last minute of the game. Both teams were tied. You could feel the pressure. An alumni game at Great Lakes Adventist Academy had not been this close in a long time. The coach for the Warriors took a timeout. He was not going to let this game get away from him. With the game on the line, he drew up his game plan, talked to his team, and sent his starting lineup in. It was the final seconds of the game. With 20 seconds left, the alumni get the ball. They shoot to try and take the lead, but they miss the shot. But wait, on the missed shot, there was a free throw, and with the 11 seconds left in the game, it's going to come down to free throws. The first free throw is missed. But the second free throw is made. The alumni make the free throw, and with 11 seconds left, it looks like they're going to win the game to continue the alumni winning streak. The score, 50-49. The game clock starts again. The Warriors do their best to get the ball down the court. They dribble. 5 seconds left. They shoot. They miss, but they get the rebound. And with the final second winding off the clock, the Warriors shoot, and the Warriors make the basket. 2 points. Final score, 51-50. The 2024 Glow Warriors win the game in the final seconds. For the first time in years, the Great Lakes Adventist Academy Warriors won the alumni game. Have you guys ever watched a game that has gone into the final seconds? Buzzer beaters, last second touchdowns. Games that go into the final seconds are exciting. The crowd goes wild. Everyone loves a game that goes down to the final seconds. Things get more intense. Mistakes get amplified. The athletes can feel it. The final seconds can sometimes be the most important part of a game. I'm here to tell you today that we are in the final seconds of Earth's history. The play clock is wrapping up. God is calling his team, his church, his people to get in the game. In the final days of Earth's history, God has a mission for his remnant church. The game is on the line. The final timeout has been called. The game plan has been drawn up. And God has given his remnant church a final mission for the final days. While this mission might seem unique, it's actually a mission that we see throughout the entire Bible. From Genesis all the way to Revelation, we see this mission that God has given to his people. Go with me to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. We're going to take a look at this mission that God gave his people all the way in the beginning of the Bible. Genesis chapter 6. God has always asked his people to get in the game. God has always asked his people to get in the game. Genesis chapter 6, and we're going to go to verse 5. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 says this. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So as we read Genesis chapter 6, what's the problem? Humanity is evil. There's evil on the earth. And the only thought of humanity's heart was evil continuously. God is going to destroy evil from off the face of the planet. But before everything goes dark, before the curtain is drawn, we see in verse 8 something special. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. No matter how dark the world gets, no matter how much evil spreads, God always has his special people. He always has his special people. And they might seem unlikely. They might seem like they come out of nowhere. But he has his special people. He always has his people. And the question for you today is, are you a Noah in a time of evil? In a time of darkness, are you a Noah? Are you standing up? Do you find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Even though you might stand alone, do you stand up for Jesus when the world is dark? The story continues. Genesis chapter 6, verse 13. It says, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. Noah is told to build an ark. Noah is told to get in the game. You see it? Good and evil have always been in conflict, and good and God will always win. The earth is about to be destroyed, but even through this, God has created a way of escape. Verse 17, and behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wives, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. God has always provided rescue. That brings us to our first point about mission. This is the mission that God has given his church. God has given his people from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Mission is about rescue. In this time of conflict, in the struggle between good and evil, God was going to provide rescue through Noah. In Genesis chapter 6, Noah's mission, build the ark. That's what Noah was called to do, build the ark. Noah's mission was about rescue. Noah's mission was about rescue. One of the key points we find is that mission is about rescue. It's about rescue from destruction. It's about rescue from something worse, rescue from disaster. In the final days before the flood, God gave Noah a mission of rescue. In the final seconds of Earth's history, God has also given his people and his church a mission of rescue. You can imagine, Noah gets discouraged. It's been a long time. He's been preaching this message for years. He's been building this ark for years. He's preached to these people for years. But Noah trusts God. No matter how long it takes, he may be discouraged at times, but he still continues on his mission. He still continues to build the ark because God is calling him to a mission of rescue. Mission is about rescue. And oftentimes, we try to redefine mission and we try to reanalyze mission. And it is good. It is good to reexamine mission sometimes. And it is good to reexamine how we do mission work from time to time. But one point is key. Mission is about rescue. It's always been about rescue. Mission is about rescue. Go with me to Esther, the book of Esther chapter 2. We're going to continue through our journey throughout the Bible. We go from Genesis all the way to Esther. And we're going to see mission pops up here too, Esther chapter 2. And we're going to go to verse 16. Esther chapter 2 and verse 16. Esther chapter 2 and verse 16. It says, so Esther was taken to King Ahasuerus into his royal palace in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther more than all the other women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. And then the king made a great feast, the feast of Esther, for all his officials and servants. And he proclaimed a holiday in the provinces and gave gifts according to the generosity of a king. 2,500 years later, we see a girl named Esther, and she hides the fact that she's a Jew. She goes in, she doesn't want anyone to know that she's part of God's people, but she still has a mission. And we know the story. Eventually, the story continues. She's been here, she becomes king, and we get to the point in the story where Haman wants to kill all the Jews. And Esther is faced with a decision. What is she going to do? Esther chapter 4, we're skipping ahead in the story to verse 4, chapter 4 and verse 13. Esther chapter 4 and verse 13. It says, and Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Mordecai reminds her, maybe you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Maybe it's your time in the battle between good and evil, between Haman and God's people. God still had Esther. He still had his special people. He still had Mordecai. Esther is called with a mission in mind, and Mordecai knows it. That's why he's telling her, get in the game. This is the time. This is the time. In this dialogue, we see deliverance is promised. Deliverance is promised. Esther's mission is about rescue. Even when it all seems hopeless, even when it seems like it's all going to fall apart, deliverance is promised. Mission is about rescue. With time running out, God has given you a mission of rescue. We also have to remember, as we think about mission and this mission that God has given his people, mission is about rescue, and mission is also about discipleship. Mission is about discipleship. Go with me to Matthew chapter 28. Skipping ahead in the Bible, some more Matthew chapter 28. We're going to go to verse 18. Jesus has been on this earth. He's gone through the crucifixion. He's risen again. And finally, he's telling his disciples some last things before he goes back to heaven. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. He continues this mission. This is nothing new, right? God's people have always had a mission, and he's continuing this mission in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. This is the Great Commission, and it says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So the mission God has given his people, the mission God has given his church is about rescuing people, but it's also about discipling people. Mission isn't just about throwing the lifesaver at people and then running away. What it's about is helping people learn and grow in Jesus. It's about helping people meet Jesus. That's why Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. When your student missionaries go out, they're not just teaching history or PE or computers. They are making disciples of Jesus in their communities. While their goal might be for them to be effective teachers or nurses or deans, that's one of their goals, yes. The ultimate goal is for them to share the love of Jesus with the people they come in contact with. To share the love of Jesus with their communities and to disciple the people they work with to know and follow Jesus better. When you put students into mission work, their lives become about discipleship. Their lives become about mission. That's what being on mission is all about. So let's review. Mission is about rescue, good. Mission is about discipleship, good. And then the third point today is mission is about character transformation. Go with me to the book of John. John chapter 21, a couple gospels over. John chapter 21. And we're going to go to verse 15. John chapter 21, and we're going to go to verse 15. John chapter 21, verse 15 says, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. And he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all these things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. We jumped into the middle of the story, but you guys know the story, right? The disciples have gone through a long weekend. Jesus has died on the cross. Some of them are discouraged. They're disillusioned. And they decide they're going to go fishing. And they go fishing all night, and they haven't caught anything. They're discouraged. Jesus has just died. But as morning breaks, Jesus is on the shore. Exactly where he is in your darkest nights and the nights that you stay up all night, he's on the shore waiting for you. And he tells them to cast their nets on the other side of the boat. So they cast their nets on the other side of the boat, and the story goes their nets become full of fish, and they take them on the shore, and they eat breakfast with Jesus. Eat breakfast with Jesus. And then we come to this unique interaction with Peter. Why did Jesus single Peter out for conversation? Peter had just denied Jesus a few days earlier. This is the same Peter. This is the Peter that was the bravest disciple. He had cut off people's ears for Jesus. He had said, I am never going to leave you. I'm never going to deny you. And when it got tough, Peter decided that he was going to deny him. Peter had spent the last 3 years of his life with Jesus. He had forsaken everything and followed Jesus. And still, the moment Jesus gets taken away, he starts denying him. Jesus knows this is a challenge for Peter. But he still wants Peter to know that he loves him. He loves him. And he still wants him to be part of the family. And he still is giving him this unique job, this unique mission. Feed my lambs. Tell others about me. Bring my sheep home. The mission he's given throughout the history of humanity, he's given to Peter, and Peter finally gets it. The next time we see Peter out in public, Peter is healing lame men, and he's preaching to thousands of people, and he's in prison, and he's getting beat for Jesus. Mission is about character transformation, personal character transformation. How many of you remember the first time that you started driving? Can I see your hands? How many of you remember the first time you started driving? I remember when I first started driving, you go through driver's ed here in Michigan. You go through driver's ed and you take the class and you read the book and you watch the videos. And finally, you get to the point where ultimately you have to get in the car and you just have to start driving. You guys remember the first time you got behind the wheel of your car and started driving? Ultimately, the only way to become a driver is to drive. You have to, at some point, you have to put the book down, you have to get in the car, and you have to drive in traffic. The only way to become a walker is to walk. When you're teaching a kid how to walk, ultimately, they have to get up and they have to stop crawling and start walking. When you're learning how to swim, the only way to learn how to become a swimmer is to get in the water and swim. The only way to strengthen your faith is to share your faith. The only way to be like Jesus is to go and be like Jesus, to go find lost people, to eat with them, talk with them, and point them to Jesus Christ. Mission is about your own character, personal character transformation. As we close, I want to go back to the beginning. Mission is about rescue. Mission is about rescue. The game is wrapping up. The final seconds are coming off the clock. Can you feel it? God wants you to get in the game. And it turns out the final seconds in this battle between good and evil, in this great controversy, the final seconds are the most critical ones. And God wants you to make the shot. He wants you to follow his game plan. He wants you to get with the mission, and he wants you to get in the game. We see mission consistently throughout humanity. God has always given his church a mission from Genesis all the way down to Revelation. The mission has stayed consistent throughout the history of humanity. He has not put us on this earth to do nothing. He didn't put us on this earth to twiddle our thumbs. He put us on this earth with a mission. It's a mission of rescue. And humanity has not always been the best at it. We've made mistakes. We've messed up. We haven't done the mission. We've not always pointed people to Jesus, but he still wants you. He still wants you, even with the mistakes you make, even with the times you don't follow through on the mission. He still wants to use you. And Jesus would never call you to do something he didn't do himself. Jesus had a mission of rescue too. When Adam and Eve ate the fruit, it started a mission in motion that would change the history of the universe. And Jesus looked down at humanity and he saw the mistake they made and he knew he needed to rescue them. He knew the relationship needed to be restored. So he was born in Bethlehem and then he grew up and he endured temptation and struggles and evil humanity as he's working through this mission that he has all the way to the cross of Calvary to rescue humanity from sin. And humanity might struggle with their mission sometimes. Humanity might not always get it right. Humanity might fail, but Jesus accomplished his mission. Jesus accomplished his mission to Calvary for you and me. He finished his mission, and now he's calling you to join him on mission. The mission of calling lost humanity, the mission of rescuing them by pointing them to Jesus, the mission of restoring the relationship that he hopes to have with every single one of us. Here at Andrews University, through the missions department, we are developing ways to get in the game. We're following the mission that God has put in front of us, and we are excited about this new initiative that we call Project Launch. Here at Andrews University, this is one of the things that we've developed to get in the game. Pioneer Memorial Church has always been about missions. It's always been both about local missions and international missions. And even now, I know that you guys are raising money to replace the pipes so that you can continue on the mission that God has put in front of you. But even though the local mission is exciting and important, I'm also reminded of the importance of foreign missions as well. Even with your projects working on local missions, I wouldn't hold back for a second your opportunity to be a partner with Project Launch. This offer is extended to you as the home church of Andrews University, just like it's going to be extended to every church across the Lake Union Conference as they partner with Andrews University. We're inviting you to partner with us with Project Launch. It comes in two parts. How many? Two parts. The first part is of Project Launch is church partnership. While student missions can oftentimes be very rewarding for the people that go, it can also be lonely. And one of the ways we alleviate that homesickness or the loneliness is we give student missionaries a taste and a reminder of home, a reminder that someone is thinking about them. One of the key parts of Project Launch is we're looking for 26 churches to partner with 26 student missionaries in the 2026 school year. This partnership can look like prayer. It can look be like sending care packages and letters to a student missionary, or even financially sponsoring a student missionary. We have student missionaries at Andrews University that we will pair with churches across the Lake Union Conference and support them and partner with them and adopt them for a year. Would you like to see your church involved? Get in touch with Pastor Shane. Talk to the Student Missions Department at Andrews. We appreciate being here at Pioneer this Sabbath. We appreciate being able to tell you all about Project Launch. And we want you involved as we support student missionaries that are out in the field. We would love to have PMC or even a family or an individual personally partner with Project Launch with a student missionary as they are out ministering in the field. The second part, I told you there's two parts. The second part of Project Launch is the Launch Fund. Launching as a student missionary is not cheap. It can be around $3,500 for a student to go from Andrews to their mission location. And that covers things like airfare. It covers things like insurance, covers things like housing and any medical bills or anything that needs to be done for vaccines or whatever it is. And we've established the Launch Fund to help offset some of that cost from student missionaries who are interested in serving abroad. If you're interested in giving money to the Launch Fund to help launch student missionaries, we've set up the Launch Fund for you to give directly to launch student missionaries into the world. The money you help donate to launch a student missionary to Palau or to Kenya or to Hong Kong goes directly to them to help them go and do the work of Jesus that he's called them to do in their communities. So those are the two ways. Project Launch, we have the Launch Fund, and then we're looking for church partners. So how do you get involved? Whether giving to the Launch Fund or partnering your church, the easiest way to get involved is to go to projectlaunchau.com. projectlaunchau.com. And here, you'll be taken to this page where you can give to the Launch Fund. You can look for other ways to get your church involved. You can become a partner with a student missionary. You can see student missionaries on this page. The other way you can get involved is you can also use your Adventist giving platform, and you can mark Andrews University Student Missions Fund on either the tithe envelope or Adventist giving app. And you can mark Andrews University Student Missions Fund on it, and that money will go to the Launch Fund. As we close, we are looking for students and people who want to get in the game. Today, Jesus is looking for young people who will make a commitment to him right now, not tomorrow, not after they graduate, not when they get into their career or get in their job, but they will make a commitment to him right now. Jesus is calling you to get in the game today. And before we close, you have seen the student missionaries up here all Sabbath, all of the church service. You've seen that we have set up a framework for you to go as a student missionary. And so as we close today, I want to invite you. Today, Jesus is calling for a couple different things. First of all, he's calling for short-term missionaries. This isn't for everyone. This is not for everyone to stand. But maybe you feel God pulling on your heart to get in the game. Maybe you say, I want to go as a student missionary. I'm going to embrace the mission of rescue. I'll raise money. I'm going to commit my spring break. Or I'm going to commit 2 weeks of my summer vacation to go as a short-term missionary to somewhere in the United States or somewhere internationally. If that's you, if you want to go as a student mission, as a short-term missionary, I want to invite you to stand up just right now. Like I said, this isn't for everyone, but if you feel God calling you and saying, I'm going to set money aside, I'm going to stand. This isn't for everyone, but God is calling people today to go on mission for him. The other thing that I want to make a call for is as we close, you've looked and you've seen the pictures. You've seen the student missionaries that have gone. You've seen the people that have gone internationally. And you hear the stories of our student missionaries, and maybe you're a young person right now that's looking to get in the game and go as a student missionary, as a task force teacher or a Bible worker or a dean. If that's you, I want to encourage you to stand up just where you're at. Like I said, this isn't for everyone, but if you're someone that wants to go as a student missionary, you're planning in your career, in your college career, to go as a student missionary, I want to encourage you to stand up where you're at. Amen. Amen. These are young people that are saying, no matter what, I don't care about the people around me. I don't care about the people that are sitting next to me. I'm going to stand and I'm going to go as a student missionary and I'm going to get in the game as the final seconds of the game is wrapping up. These are people that say, I am going to go as a student missionary. This is a new era of missions, and the young people that are standing They're part of this new era of missions. They are next year's student missionaries, or maybe the year after. The Launch Fund is how we send people like this to change the world for Jesus Christ. As these students stand up, I want to ask you, are you willing to commit to missions? Are you willing to commit to missions in your own life, both locally and internationally? If you want to commit to missions and you want to get in the game, if you want to follow the calling that God has placed on his church, I want to invite you to stand as well. I want to invite you to stand with me as we embrace missions together as a Pioneer Memorial Church family. This new initiative, this project launch, is going to impact this conference and this union and the world for Jesus Christ like we've never seen before. And whether as a church or a university or as an individual, in the spirit of Jay and Andrews, I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you today to join this mission and support Project Launch and the Launch Fund. It's time to get in the game. Father, you see these people standing. You see us together. I pray, Lord, that you will make our paths very clear. For the ones that said they want to go on a short-term mission trip, I pray that you will help them to raise the money and you'll help them to carve out the time in their calendar to go and serve you somewhere else. And for the ones that said, I want to go as a student missionary, I pray, Lord, that you will make their path very clear. And for our whole church family, Lord, I pray that you will help us to see what you're calling us to do and get involved and get in the game. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.